Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And this is the midweek version of the Fiber Talk twice weekly podcast for needlework people and artists.
Yep. Yes.
Which,
Lots of art at the seminar, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, and we're not going to talk about this forever, but I have to say that's that was a powerful event. A lot to see, a lot to learn there. And, you know, that was my first national seminar, and I can see why people go. Yeah, there's a lot to be consumed, and I can only think without a pandemic how much more, with more people and more people interacting in lobbies and hallways. And it was everything I'd expected. I didn't have expectations. So anyway, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know, you know, I didn't have, it's not like, oh, I have these lofty expectations. Plus, you know, we were there to do a job. So, you know, you're focused on that, but, there were some things in there that judging session that we had where we could judge some of the exhibited pieces along with judges and, you know, have an exchange. That was probably my highlight, I think. I think
that's
it was.
That's cool.
Yeah. Between that and doing that video with Natalie, and folks watch the video that Natalie did where she critiqued two of my projects. You'll learn a lot there, not about my projects, but you'll learn a lot about what judges look at and how to improve your stitching. I think that part, the judging part, was probably the best part of the whole thing for me.
Right.
You know, not
to kind of learn about it and take some of the mystery out.
Right.
You're always like, you just, so, because, you know, if you don't know what they're looking for, it's just like, what do? Just go, ooh, that's pretty, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's far from that. You know, it's a far cry from that. But even you know, for me, it isn't necessarily to enter something in competition. It's what do people who see a lot of stuff and are trained to look for things, what do they look for that takes points off of a piece of needlework?
Right.
Okay, then translate that to don't do those things in your needlework, or get better at those things. You know, stitch tension obviously is the easy one, but make your stitching better. Use that information to make your needlework better. And for me, that's the plus. That's the big plus. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just for your own self, you know, to just improve and be like, oh, I could pay more attention to that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, oh, that's wrong. Oh, okay.
Right.
Or maybe not wrong, but not as appealing, you know?
Yeah. Well, for me, that's something they take points off for.
Right.
You know, if you don't do this part well, then points come off. Well, then, all right, then it's a factor. All right, so then let me look at how I can improve that aspect.
And, right.
So that's the judging part, the fact that it goes beyond your stitching to the way you finish it, the entire presentation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, pay attention to your framing, pay attention to your finishing. Because
the wrong frame or finish can totally detract from the look of the piece, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, that little sampler that Natalie critiqued of mine, that is, pastels, light, delicate colors. And then it's in this kind of dark oak frame or medium oak frame. And when she pointed out that maybe a silver or a white frame would be better because that wood is awful heavy visually against all those pastels. Now, every time I look at it, I go, oh, I got to change that frame. It's got to, you know.
Right.
You know, and it's been, I finished it in 91. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's been in hanging on the walls ever since. But now it takes on a different look. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, sometimes decorating, like sometimes you frame things in the style of what's popular of the decorating at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's, it's a fad sometimes because it's maybe outside the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ooh, but it's not, if you really look at it artistically, it's like, yeah, that's a statement, but it could look better this way, you know?
Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. So virtually all of the pieces that I have framed, not that many, but, you know, a good number, it's been, here, Marga, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she usually, like, if I'm working on something and she checks on it to see how, what I'm doing, what I'm working on, then she will identify pieces that she wants.
Right.
Meaning, I want it framed because I want to hang it in the house and I know where it's going.
Right. So then, hurry up and finish it.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, is that done yet? But then that is in the context of where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that she chooses, and then so she'll change frame or choose frame, matting, whatever.
Right.
And then, so that's done in the context of where it's going, I'm sure. Not mm-hmm. how does it work as a standalone.
Right.
Piece, you know, in a white room, you know, in a white room, how does it work as a standalone piece? No, mm-hmm. it's how does it work in the context? So, if, yeah, there's like two paths to that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and I know that somewhere I read or heard or you guys were talking to someone that, you know, for judging, put it in something that'll be more appropriate and get better scores for judging. But then when you get home, if you want to put it in some other frilly, whoop-de-doo, and you want it to look a certain way in your house, change it up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think you have to start looking at it like that if you're going to enter in competition.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that overall presentation, I mean, when Natalie, on the one of my pieces that's all very angular, the needlepoint piece, angles mm-hmm. and triangles, and then the frame has kind of swirly design in the frame, and she points out, you know, that frame solid, I don't know if she said solid and or with some angled lines in it or just angled lines, but certainly not a curved design.
Right.
Oh, it's like, oh,
it clashes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, visually it doesn't go together, so you know, there's that total presentation. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that so out of the seminar, that's probably the thing I've taken that stuck with me the most, is that very thing, is the judging and what it tells you about your presentation, your piece. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Learned a lot there.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Tonight we're jumping on the September sampler bandwagon in a big way.
Cool.
So the Wednesday night shows, and it's going to be September into October. So the Wednesday night shows starting tonight, we couldn't start last week because we were at the seminar. We were just back from the seminar. So we're starting tonight.
Right.
September 15. Kim Young from, you know, Sassafras Samplers is her brand of samplers and Sassy Jack Stitchery. Kim Young will be our guest tonight, and we did a show with her a couple months ago, but she has a nice collection of samplers, so we're going to look at samplers tonight with Kim. And then next Wednesday, we're going to have Melinda Cole of Merry Wind Farm Samplers. She's going to join us, and we're going to look at some samplers from her collection. And then on the 29th, Vicki Jennett, Vicki Little Piccolo Jennett, of Needlework Press. Now there is a collector. You know, mm-hmm. There's collectors all over the world. I've been to Vicky's house. That is a collector of old needlework stuff. Her house is a museum.
I follow her on Instagram, and it's amazing posts. Just constantly amazing posts.
Yep, it is a museum, and you look at all the samplers she owns. But then all the tools and accessories, the antique sewing and needlework tools and accessories, she has a massive collection of that stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Vicki will be with us on the 29th. You know, I just realized.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho. Okay, we're going to, oh, this just hit me. I'm going to be in Phoenix on the 29th.
Okay.
Oh, I have to call Vicky. We may see about going to her house. Oh, man, that would be.
Oh, she lives there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's just outside of Phoenix. Yeah, I've been to her house. Yeah. Oh, I didn't.
Oh, wow.
Those two little things just clicked. Oh, my.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like I said, her posts are just amazing.
Yep. Oh, I got to talk to her. Okay, all right, that just clicked there. All right, yep. I'll see. So we'll either do it the conventional way, or I'll be at Vicky's house, one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, the conventional way, you know, we've seen and done that, so let's try something new.
All right.
Obviously, she has to be willing, though.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah. So, all right, I'll connect with her on that. I don't know why that didn't occur to me. And then October 6th. Now, see, we have to spill over into October because I'll be in Phoenix. So October 6th, I'll be at the Attic with Gene Lee.
Yeah, cool.
And so we'll do a live show. Actually, hoping to do two or three live shows, certainly two at the Attic while we're out there. But one of them will be on October 6th. So we'll be looking at samplers with Gene Lee. And who better to look at samplers with than Gene Lee? And, so we'll be live there at the store on the 6th. So Kim Young, Melinda Cole, Vicky Jennett, and Gene Lee are four. So it's going to be a month of samplers from, from clearly some top end people. Yeah. Some of the best in the business. Yep. Oh, that's, now my heart's kind of pumping a little bit here. Well, I didn't even put that together because see, I asked Gene if she could do it on the 29th. But she couldn't. So we just moved that to the 6th. And then Vicky said she would do it on the 29th. And because I was trying to get Vicky 22nd or 29th. And she said she'd do it on the 29th. And I'm going to be out there. Buckle up. Buckle up. Okay. All right. Oh, man. And she, all right. Okay. Now, okay. I'll keep what's in my head until I get agreement from Vicky that she'll do it.
Right.
And her daughter, her daughter reproduces samplers too, Megan.
Oh.
Megan is very knowledgeable. I don't know if she's more knowledgeable than Vicky, but she's certainly been doing it a long time. So she knows her way around samplers and antique needlework things too quite well.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. All right, so there we have it.
That's cool that the mom and the daughter have that in common, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you can see that when they're together, what fun to have your kid be into something as much as Vicky is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, because, mother-daughter, you always have the connection of being related, but then to have the same interest. Oh, yeah. What fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's the lineup, and if Vicky will do it from her house, it just got that much better. So
yep, exciting. Yep.
And then when I'm at in Phoenix, then we're gonna have a guys' night. Now that won't be recorded or broadcast or anything, but 2 years ago, I think it was pre-pandemic, so it was probably 3 years ago. We had a guys' night because Gene has a handful of guys who are needleworkers.
Right.
And we got some beer, probably the first time there's ever been beer at the Attic. And we sat around for a couple of hours, just guys, just stitching. And it was great fun. It was just a lot of fun. And then it was, all right, let's do it next year. Well, the next year was the pandemic.
Right.
And we couldn't do it. And I've heard from one or two that, we got to do this. And so we're going to have a guys' night at the Attic while I'm out there.
I remember seeing pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
You must have at least put pictures.
I did, yeah. Yeah, there were
pictures. Because I remember the pictures.
Yep. Yeah, we did pictures. But I just didn't, it was one of those things where I didn't feel like that was something we wanted. We were just shooting the breeze and stitching. And, we're not going to, I didn't want to record that. I didn't want to post it.
You guys could do a little mini, 10-15 minute. Hey, this is what I'm working on. Okay, now we're going to go. Bye.
Yeah,
maybe
we'll do
video,
that. Yeah.
Like a little,
snippet. Quick thing. Yeah.
Just maybe. Go around, show your stuff, and then, all right, see you later.
We're out.
Get into business.
We're out. Yep. Yeah. So yes, we had a great time. That's one that I remembered quite well. I really enjoyed that, just sitting there talking to the guys. And because cool. You know, that, I mean, when does that ever happen that a bunch of guys mm-hmm. get together and stitch? Like, never.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we're gonna do that. And then I don't know, I've got a couple other ideas for, you know, because when you're out there in a store, and especially a store of that caliber,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's things you can do that you just simply can't do remotely. So
right.
We'll see what we can cook up here. I'll see how far out on a limb Jean's willing to go. Yeah, she's I think there's an adventurer in her there. I think we can get mm-hmm. some, so we'll see. But anyway, that's for sure. So there may be, of the four, there may be two of them live from the Phoenix area, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. And then planning, if all goes well, planning out to be at the Galleria in St. Charles, Missouri,
mm-hmm.
Here in a couple of weeks. Next week, I guess it is, isn't it? Yes, next week.
Wow.
So I'll do a video from there, or a couple of videos,
so what,
or something.
What exactly is that?
That is,
you get them all confused.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
I'm like, what's this now?
Okay, so let me I can explain that. I've not been to it, but I, you know, I've had it described to me, so I know how it works. So like, if you go to the Nashville show, the Nashville market,
right,
which is held in March, that's,
which is for only store owners.
Right. Right. So okay. Only store owners, that's held in an Embassy Suites mall outside of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And each of the designers rents a room and then basically sets up a shop.
Right.
In the room, and shop owners go in, and that's a cash and carry thing. So mm-hmm. designers bring in all kinds of charts, and they intend to go home without any. They want them all sold, plus some orders. And so that's just for shop owners. Well, now, the Galleria, the way it's been described to me, is the same setup, except needleworkers can go too. So shop owners and needleworkers can go. And so same setup. And so all the lots of designers will be there. And
you have to buy tickets to go?
Yeah, there's like day tickets.
And do they have a limited number or?
I doubt it. I doubt it. Because that's
okay. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how.
Yeah.
Even aside from COVID, in normal times, how crowded do they let it get?
Right. Well, and that, you know, that would be a concern here in Missouri, especially, you know, the southern half of Missouri is a COVID train wreck. So, but not too bad.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, not too bad. Now, I live in Baldwin, which is a southwest suburb of St. Louis, and Marga found a thing that Baldwin is one of the lowest infection rates in the state, like essentially none.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's good. So I think the St. Louis area is in good
shape.
Good job,
guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all have badges and everything. It's very exciting.
Awesome.
So I think that and she said that the other areas around us were really quite low. So I think the St. Louis area is good.
Hmm.
But then, of course, events like this bring people in from the outside, and you don't know what that is. So.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know about the number of people. As I recall from seeing the ticket prices, you can buy 1 and 2 day tickets and different options. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's Inspired Needle, the lady whose name just slipped out of my head. I hate that. Who did the boutique at the Chicago seminar? Inspired Needle shop. Yes, in Lamont, Illinois. So she is doing this. She does this every year. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is in St. Charles, Missouri. And you can tell, I just looked down at the notes that I made for the show. It says St. Charles, Illinois. Well, about 15 miles south of where we used to live is a St. Charles, Illinois.
Mm.
So pure habit there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, St. Charles, Missouri, it's just northwest of St. Louis.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, so if you can drive there, you know, there's a lot of people could easily drive a couple hour drive and go see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
So I'm gonna be there at some point is the plan.
Nice.
Other than that, again, nothing going on.
Yeah. Jeez.
Nothing going on. Okay. Now I had to think about this a little bit. So, one of the videos we did at the national seminar was the projects that are lined up for next year's seminar in August in New York.
Right.
Broadway Bound is their theme, their name, mm-hmm. their theme. Okay, so the question comes to me, if I were going to take a class, and there, of course, there's an array of all techniques at all levels. If I were just going to take a class, what would I take?
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to go look, because several things popped out. But, okay, you're going to take a class or two classes. Now you got to narrow it down.
Right.
So I have mine. So what did you choose?
I have, let's see. I like that J. Nicholas Stump work, the flowers. The very first one, I think you showed. First or second?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
And then the Terry Bay White work. And the Catherine Theron Berry Band sampler. I like that one, but it's very similar to that Catherine sampler that I'm already doing.
Okay.
Where you have, lots of, it's kind of a learning sampler.
Yeah.
Where you do lots of different, it's very similar. It even has some of the same stuff in there.
So it has some specialty stitches in the one you're doing.
Oh, yeah, tons. Each band is like a whole different thing. Yeah. So that one, I like it because it's pretty and stuff, but I have something like it already. So, yeah. But I like it.
I liked that. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
so
stump work and white work,
mm-hmm.
as
the
techniques.
The postcard art, and then the Helen Blomkamp, and then the ribbon embroidery by Deborah Mitek.
Mm.
Didn't you have her on a show?
No, I have not. She's
no?
on my short list. Yeah.
Then you had somebody who does something similar.
From South Africa, does ribbon embroidery.
Okay. I want to say Di Van Kirk?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Di Van Kirk. Yeah. Yeah. That's who
okay.
I had. That's who I had. Okay. Yes. She's like the queen of ribbon embroidery.
Right. So similar-ish.
Yes.
Yeah. So I liked, because I haven't done ribbon embroidery.
That's interesting, because I almost put that on my list, because I've not done it either, and it looks like it would be an interesting technique to tackle.
Mm-hmm. And the show that's happening here in New England in next May has a ribbon embroidery. That was the one that I was like, ooh, look at that ribbon embroidery. It's like you do a letter, like your initial.
Oh, okay.
And it's all ribbon embroidery with flowers and all sorts of fancy stuff.
Hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I don't have my thing open right now. I don't remember who was teaching
me. Yeah. Di Van Niekerk. I think it's Di Van Niekerk. It seems right.
That sounds even more correct.
Even more. We'll keep trying. By the end of the show, we'll have her name. I could look it up, but, that's hassle. Because that ribbon embroidery intrigues me.
Yeah, it is. Di Van Niekerk. Because I typed it into my search on Instagram. There it is.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because she dyes ribbon.
She dyes her own ribbon. That's right.
Yeah, because she has, and she does it all so it works well in nature, like nature colors and random shading and stuff. So, her stuff's impressive. But that whole, when you see a good piece of ribbon embroidery, the way they imitate nature is flat out amazing to me. And then you look close and you realize it's ribbons, but if you just step back a little bit, it's like, what is this? And it has so much dimension. That's cool.
Here's the one, silk ribbon surface embroidery by Audra Kennedy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that's gonna be
in New York.
In New England. Let's see, who is it? The New England regional area.
Well, there you go, Jennifer.
Connecticut River Valley and Pioneer Valley chapters.
Sign up, just down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Connecticut.
Sign up, you can do it.
I'll have to fill out the thing and send in the thing.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see you do ribbon embroidery, just so that we can see, you know, because it, you know, people say it's not that tough.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really difficult, but people say it's not that tough. It's just making sure that the ribbon bends and folds the way you want it to.
Right. Yeah, and I've never tried it.
Yeah. Sign up. Sign up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, so for New York for you. All right. So then mine is that Flowers and Berries band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That the Catherine Theron,
right.
Or Theron. I'm with you. I really like that sampler. I think it's a really, it's a really nice sampler. But then, there's a couple, three stitches in there I have not done. And, so that would be instructive. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really big. It's, was it 10 or 12 inches long? Something like that. It's not a horribly big sampler, and it is beautiful.
Yeah, it was really pretty. Yep.
And then Kathy Andrews has me hooked. I got to do some crewel embroidery. So, you know, that's Kathy's fault. She caused that problem. If I was going to choose a class, and if I was going to choose a class, a single class, it would be Hazel Blomkamp's Colin the Rooster.
Yeah, me too.
Because he's just cool.
Yes. And because I have her books and other ones that I want to do, and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know in the books she steps you right through it. You know, do this first, then do this, then do, you know.
Right.
But I've not tried it yet.
Yeah, no, I have her book with that in there, and the rooster in there. So, you know, what do I need the class for? Now, I think I need the class, plus to spend a couple of days with Hazel would be a hoot. That woman's incredible. So that would be great fun just to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be my top choice, then Flowers and Berries. Because, I mean, there's so many to choose from. Like, you know, the stump work, there's three or four stump work ones, and I really want to learn stump work. But if I were going to do a class at a seminar like that, I'd want to do one where I knew that I could actually do the stitching and make some progress while I'm there.
Right.
And I think with stump work, that to me, that's a longer-term learning project there. Maybe not. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe I'm talking against myself, because if you have a chance to be taught stump work face-to-face.
In person, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you take that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Because, somebody to stand over you and say, no, not this, do this, with stump work. Because I played with it once. I have all the stuff to do a couple of projects, and I played with it once and was starting to make good progress. I was starting to get a sense of it. And then squirrel, you know, shiny object, and I went off to something else. So,
yes. I have that problem. I'm looking at four or five projects sitting in front of me right now.
Yeah.
That I am switching between every day. I try to do two, you know, I try to do my whip go and then one other thing during the day if I have the time. Yesterday, I only had time to work on one thing. Now, I was busy yesterday, so.
Are you sticking to the whip go? Because you had that break when you went to Colorado to see your mother.
Yeah, and that one.
That kind of messed you up. But then when you came back, have you gotten right back in line, or have you struggled to get back to that?
No, last month I did it. Last month was good. I completed it. It was Royal Garden and something else. What was the other one? Oh, that witch one. The Wacky Witches and Stitches.
Mm-hmm.
So I did those, and I completed it. Yay. And then this month it's Pandemic Sampler and then that Jennifer Gilbert again.
Oh, okay.
So right now I'm working on Pandemic and Spring Hill because I'm trying to do Sampler September, you know.
Look at you.
So I am working on Spring Hill.
And Jennifer, I keep with a theme.
well, you know, sometimes it helps. Otherwise, I feel just kind of like, I don't know what to do, you know?
Yeah, right.
you get a little, like, you have so many, you can't choose.
Right.
So I'm doing those two, and then it's kind of about time to switch from Pandemic and get out the Jennifer Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could keep going on Pandemic and get out Jennifer Gilbert. Or I could do Jennifer Gilbert and Spring Hill. You know, I don't know. Whatever I feel like.
Well, your Pandemic, that's looking terrific. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep.
It's fun. Every time I get it out and I start working on it, you realize how it just go. Like, you can go kind of fast.
Mm-hmm.
You're not changing color. All you have to do is look at the squares where you're supposed to sit to just go.
Just go. Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. It's freeing to not to do monochromatic and not worry about color changing and paying attention to which symbol is what.
Yeah.
It's very freeing.
Isn't that the appeal? I think that's the appeal and why I think even in the last couple of years, monochromatics have become popular. Is just that. You can just stitch the pattern. And you pick a color you really like, and so you're enjoying working with a thread, and then you just go. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you, if you choose a variegated thread, you can decide how to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not to. Some people go page by page, and, like, even if the pattern continues, they focus on the one page.
Yeah.
And they just go back and forth. And so it's very stripey.
Yeah.
And they want that. I guess they want that. They like that. Mine, I'm following where the shapes take me. And I'm just flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also making sure that I don't want mine to be stripey. So even in a big area, I won't go back and forth. I'll maneuver around and twist and turn and to make sure it doesn't stripe. And it gets a little bit more blobby, but, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be stripey. So.
Two technical terms, stripey and blobby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I know all the technical terms.
Yeah. But it's fun. You just pick a thread you like and go, because it doesn't matter in any of those designs. It just simply doesn't matter what color you choose. So choose one you like. Choose a thread you like. Yeah.
Yep. Choose your background that you want. Choose a thread. I mean, it is, like, open. And then a lot of people will do, they'll color it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll do two colors, and sometimes they'll go wild and do just a bazillion colors.
Yeah.
It's interesting to watch what people do with these designs that are monochromatic. And just to see the variations of just... And some of them are like, wow. And some of them you're like, whoa.
Maybe not.
For me. But hey, you know.
That's your taste
and not their, you know.
Yeah, those people that take a monochrome thing like that and really do a nice job with the colors, they can really knock your eyes out. Yeah.
Yeah, some people. And you see things sometimes that they pick up on because you change the color that you're like, oh, I didn't really notice that, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
Because it makes it stand out.
Yeah. No, it's fun. The Linen and Threads, Brendan and Karen Kirk, the monthly sampler that they do every year.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it 1 year and couldn't keep up. But same thing happens if you join that group and see what people do with the colors. Like, holy smokes, what creativity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So.
Definitely. So that's fun to watch. So yeah, I've been working on that. I had Tamari class last weekend.
Oh.
So the ball is really cool. So I started a new one. I've only got one flower out of like six stitched. So.
Okay. Now, when you do that, when you do those classes, so you know, however often you meet, doesn't matter.
It's once a month.
Once a month. Okay. And you're going to start a new one. Then.
Yep.
Do you do all of the prep work, all the wrapping of the ball, so that you show up to the class with one all wrapped, or?
Yeah, you've got to have your ball, the thread on, like it's got to be ready to be stitched on.
Okay.
And then most of the time she tells you too what the division is, like if it's a four division, a six division,
Okay.
So you can do your division, put on your guidelines before you get to class too.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have to.
but it's
like
better.
This last time, it is. This last time I wanted to, but then I couldn't find my email that told me what the divisions were. Oops. I got my ball wrapped. Yeah, I think I deleted it. And then I didn't even think about emailing Michelle and asking her. And I'm like, oh, I should have, you know, contacted Michelle and asked her if she had. She didn't even think about it. So I had to do mine there, but I wasn't the only one. Michelle had done hers. Like, and then we had to add extra guidelines too. On top of that, we had to do, so this was a complicated guideline.
Uh-huh. Now, does she make them, does the instructor, does she make them, have they gotten more complex as time has gone on?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So she's building you then.
Yeah, so we're building up. There's this sunflower ball that is just beautiful that we all want to do the sunflower. So she's adding a little bit more complication so we can build up to the sunflower ball.
Oh, okay. So there's an end goal here then. Okay.
Yes. Yes. We want to do the sunflower.
But not something you can really just jump into. You need these intermediate step techniques.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Adding these extra lines and stuff, it's tricky, and first you're putting them on and it looks kind of wonky, but then you have to tack them down and then it solidifies them in place better, and yeah.
Okay.
It's a whole thing.
It's cool stuff, there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yep.
So yeah, we're working up to something.
Okay. All right, a goal is in sight. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I'm working on the Sarah Parr sampler, and this is a new venture for me, okay? So I got to the part where there's a verse. There's an over one verse.
Right.
And to me, the verse is lame and depressing.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm just not going to stitch it. You know, I'm not going to do over one on something lame and depressing.
Right.
So I said to our daughter, Sarah, who is going to end up with the thing, do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, well, no. She says, I failed you. No. But she said, I do have my favorite reading from First Corinthians, I think it was, that was at their wedding.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Oh, to the Colossians, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. So she says, I do have that. And she said, that is, in the Bible, my favorite thing, obviously, because she used it at her wedding. Mm-hmm. So she sent me that, which I thought was really nice of her. I could have easily looked it up. But anyway, so I have, I'm going to use the last sentence, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I'm going to do that. But now, that's fine. Now I got to chart it.
Right.
Now, I've never charted, and you'd think, all right, charting would be pretty straightforward because it just get a grid paper and make, you know, fill in boxes, but this is over one.
Right.
So I got grid paper so I could make 10 by 10 boxes, and then I started marking it up one over one, you know, to do it because now you got to do, you know, each box can hold two stitches.
Mm-hmm.
And I messed up the first time. So, I got to...
Why don't you do it in a computer? Like in Excel or something. Make a big spreadsheet.
You know, Jennifer, why don't I do it in Excel and just make a big spreadsheet? Yeah. What's wrong with me?
Right, because that's what I did whenever I made these. I knitted these hats that had... it's basically like cross stitch. And then wherever you come to the little different color symbols, you switch colors. It's, color work, whatever. I don't remember the name, but, so I just, and I wanted to design the hats and I did it in the computer on an Excel spreadsheet.
You know, Jennifer, I should probably do this in an Excel spreadsheet.
Why,
instead of sitting
paper.
Here with pencil and eraser and making...
So much faster. Click. I mean, you know.
Boy, I'm glad we talked.
Sure. I mean, you're on a computer all day, every day. I'm surprised you didn't think about it yourself.
Well, yeah, you know, sometimes you think you want to do something that's not on the computer, but that would be, I probably would have had it done by now.
Exactly.
I'll be going to the Excel spreadsheet this evening. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Yeah.
Okay. That just, because I sat here, I put together graph paper and drew heavy lines to mark off 10 grids and then started marking on it with pencil and messed it up and erased it. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. Excel.
Because that way you can like fiddle around and get it just how you want.
Yeah. Okay.
It's much easier. Yes.
All right. Technology to the rescue. Here we go. Yep. And then, yeah, and then I just print it out, right? I mean,
right. And then if you need to have your little boxes of four, like, then you just take a marker or something and mark your boxes of four so that you, you know.
Okay.
Know what's up. Or you put it into, make it into a PDF, put it into your books, and then take your little highlighter thing in your thing and, you know, the. Where you can mark it up and then you highlight your square there or whatever.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Ta-da.
All right. That's an evening wasted. Darn it. But I have this beautiful grid paper. Yeah.
I have some grid paper too. And you know what? I get it out and I try marking. I'm like, what am I doing? I get it to the computer. Boom. It's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That just took all the work out of that. Yay. So just, you know, the fact that I'm going to stitch it all over one is work enough. And all right, I'll be knocking that out tonight.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yep.
And other thing that I am learning, now when I set up the studio, and I am going to do a video here in the next week or so people can see what I set up. One of the goals of the studio was to have plenty of surface space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to never lack for a place to put something down or a place to work and spread out.
Right.
So I build all that and I have it. The downside to that, you got to work to make sure that surface space doesn't get filled up with stuff.
I know it, right?
Oh, man. Oh, like right now, I am going to, when we're done recording with this, I am going to go through and I am cleaning up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can see it's starting to encroach.
Oh, no.
It's starting to encroach and I'm going to be down to a little workspace. Now, because I have this 6-foot table and the 6-foot table has the computer and the microphone on it at one end. And then the other end is all of the stitching stuff. Well, the computer and microphone, you know, that's pretty well defined. You know, it's not going to grow. But the stitching stuff is starting to now creep its way into that end.
Yep.
You know how that creeps.
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. So there's that. Then I have this three-drawer chest that I have a bunch of stuff stored in. Now, that top is supposed to have just the Kleenex box on it. Okay? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There are now two stacks of things on there.
Oh, my.
They're only 4 or 5 items high, but there are two stacks of things. One of them is magazines that have come in that have a storage spot, but I've not put them there. And the other is some things I got from Krista West at Avalia to give away on Wednesday night shows, and there's a place for those, and I haven't put them there. And so now, all right, that one. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have
got to be more disciplined.
No kidding.
Stuff where it goes the first time.
And then I have the 4-foot table that's the one that gets moved around depending on what I need.
Right.
And shock of shocks, that thing has nothing on it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm 1 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah, I gotta, and I promised myself I would stay ahead of it because otherwise, you know, all this effort is wasted, so... Yeah.
Yep, and then you spend an entire day putting it all where it goes, and then it's frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's become my thing, all right? But oh man, I'm sitting here on the end of this six foot long table that is what 30 inches deep, and it's like give me some elbow room, and Man, that's a 6 foot long table, and I've already, it's got to get under control here. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I go through phase, I'm pretty good still about putting stuff away when I bring it home. But like now I have four projects spread out all over the living room. It's not even the sewing, five projects. I found there's one back there. Uh-huh. And because I get them out and like the rose thing, I was working on the rose thing hardcore. But then this one area I'm doing now, this background stuff, really, really have to study the chart, and I had a few days where my eyes couldn't take it.
Yeah.
So I got out easier stuff. I didn't put that away though. So it's sitting there on the table, and then another project sitting on it. So I have like four or five projects out right here, and that's not even in the stitching room because Girlie's in there right now.
Yeah.
The cat problem is in my sewing room again. So.
Yeah.
Not that
see,
I can't
that's...
go in there when she's in there, but.
Yeah. It's that step two, put it away. That's the part.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it breaks down. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I put it away, that is a signal that I have decided I'm not going to work on that for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
When it's sitting out, it's like there's still hope. But then I think of my other plans that I have for the rest of the month, and I'm like, I might just go put that away in the cabinet and get it off the table so it's not cluttery.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm looking right now at what's encroaching on my recording end of the table. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I have come home with or I took out temporarily for a show or some stuff I came home from Chicago with, put it away. It's just I got piled there. It has a place. It's not – all this stuff has a place.
All right.
Oh, okay.
So remember when I was doing, I did a few podcasts of my own back in the day before I started with you, the thing I didn't like the most was that to do the show, you have to get everything and move it all into one area.
Yeah.
And then you do the show and you move it around and then it gets a big mess there because you don't put things back right. You just put it down to get on with it.
Right.
And then you have to do the cleanup after and put it all back.
Yep.
That was very difficult for me. I did not like doing it. And that's kind of why every time I'd think, I should do a show, then I'd be like, oh, God, I have to get everything out. I have to put it all on the table. It's like it was just too much work just getting ready to do it.
Yep.
It was just, and that's why I kind of petered off. So I'm like, I'll do all that.
Yep. You I know that feeling. No, when we have Wednesday night stitch and chat shows and we get, there's audience asking questions and we have stuff to show and I haul a bunch of stuff out to show. And then it's just cast on the table. And then afterwards, I really have to force myself. All right. Do not go downstairs. Stay here and put all this stuff back.
Right.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Because that's one of the things I built into this room was the ability for all the technology, and that's all in place now, so that I can sit down and record an audio show, or I can wheel that 4 foot table over and put the computer on it, and then I hung my my lights that light me from the ceiling. So now I don't even have to set up stands and plug them in. They're hanging from the ceiling. I just reach up and flip the switches. So I've got it all so that I don't have that whole bunch of setup time, because I know what you mean. It's like, geez, here we go. I got to set all this stuff up. I got to tear it all down, put it all away. And I've eliminated all of that with this thing. But now I got to actually put other stuff away.
Yeah. I mean, and I still, I still do really good about putting stuff that I've bought away, but I'm bad about pulling out a new project and not immediately putting away the old one.
Right. Right.
Well, like I said, there's still hope. Like, I'll get to it a day or two.
Yeah.
And then a week's gone by or 2 weeks have gone by.
Squirrel.
It's like, it's still sitting there. Squirrel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I go to Tamari class, so I get out all my Tamari stuff, and that's out all over the place. It's just,
Yep. And I feel, yeah, and it's frustrating, but then now today, this is Tuesday, we're recording on Tuesday, Mary Corbett did a post, and she had cataract surgery, so she's waiting for her eyes to heal before she can do do really close work. What's one of the things on her list? Get organized.
Right.
And she, I mean, she is the queen of getting organized. It's like every couple of months she has to stop and get herself organized, because I think she does like you do. This project, leave it out. I'm coming back to it in a couple of days, and just leave it out and I'll get to it. And it piles up and piles up, and then now I got it. Now it's a project. Now it's a cleanup project. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you put it fully away, then it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
You know, but then you just have it. And then, but eventually the same thing happens, though. If you just leave it sitting out, it becomes just background and you don't see it.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's insight, out of mind.
There's that little window of when it's active. Yeah. And then it becomes wallpaper. Yeah.
Yes. And you don't even really, you're like, oh, until you really look at it, focus on what it is. You don't even realize what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, all this is absolutely pathetic. Complaining about having so many projects that we can't put them away. I mean, that's just tragic. Yeah.
Okay. I know.
We really should just shut up, you know, because
we're terrible, lazy people that have too much stuff.
Yeah. This is just,
I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not the only ones that have this problem.
No, no. No, actually, we're in the majority, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, well.
Yes.
That's going to be it, I think.
All right.
Because I have to clean up. I have to clean up the table.
I know, right?
Yep. So join us tonight. We kick off our September sampler series with Kim Young from Sassy Jacks and Sassafras Samplers. That's tonight. Then next week, Melinda Cole, Mary Wind Farm Samplers. Did a show with Melinda Cole. Look it up. It's probably been a year, year and a half. If you want to know who, if you don't know who Melinda Cole is, really neat person, and a good show. So look that up. And then Vicki Jennett, Needlework Press, on the 29th. Either remote or in her house, now that I've cooked up that little idea. And then October 6th, Jean Lee, I will be at the Attic live.
Mm-hmm.
So, woohoo, yep, that'll be fun. So there we have it. Sunday is Margaret Kinsey. Margaret Kinsey, metal thread, creative wire metal thread, gold work type stuff. She'll be the guest Sunday. Yep. That's all we got.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.